The Becker's team is excited to be making our return to in-person events this fall. Join us in September for Becker's Hospital Review 6th Annual Health IT and Revenue Cycle Conference. We have opportunities to attend the in-person program in Chicago and also to join us virtually from the comfort of your own home. For information about registering and to find out if you are eligible to attend free of charge, reach out to us at registration@beckershealthcare.com.
This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Jamie Vink. Jamie is the Chief Executive Officer of CPF Recovery Ways. She's going to tell us what she's seeing sort of in the behavioral health business today, addiction business today, some of the trends she's watching and more. Jamie, can you take a moment to introduce yourself? Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, my name is Jamie Vink, and I am the CEO of CPF Recovery Ways, and we are headquartered in Murray, Utah, and we have recently announced our Recovery Ways family of programs, which includes three programs in the state of Washington, two in Spokane and one north of Seattle, and a new program of ours, Omega Recovery, that is in Austin, Texas.
And talk a little bit about Recovery Ways, and what Recovery Ways does.
So Recovery Ways is a treatment program that offers all levels of care. And if we think about the family of programs, we can think about Utah as really the hub. And here we offer detox, mental health primary treatment, substance use disorder treatment, both residential, partial hospitalization, and then we also have a very active virtual outpatient program, which we'll talk a bit more later about virtual care, which is certainly one of the trends. And then, as I mentioned, our other programs are partial hospitalization and intensive outpatient, and they focus not only on substance use disorder, but also on mental health issues. And we are primarily an in-network program. And what that means is that people can come to our program, very high quality, high value, utilizing their in-network benefits, which is something that we work very hard to provide. And we're very happy that we're able to do that.
To make it accessible to people. And talk a little bit about growth in behavioral health, growth in substance abuse. I mean, the pandemic has been a difficult time for people. And talk a little bit about, is there a growth correlated with that in people seeking mental health treatments and substance abuse treatments and more?
There absolutely is. And if we take a step back and we look at the past 18 months in society and specifically in behavioral health, as an operator, I was operating very large residential treatment centers at the time that COVID came upon us, and it was increasingly complex throughout the entire time, and it continues to be right now. You know, from the early days, deciding who's really an essential worker to having to rewrite our programs and in order to fit the governor's mandates, and then testing and vaccinations and all of that good stuff, all while keeping the doors open, because right now, Scott, I've never seen such acuity as I have. People coming in the doors with multiple suicide attempts, overdose attempts, overdose, both accidental and non-accidental, very complex family trauma, all of those kinds of things. So it's very important as operators that we were able to keep our doors open and to keep safely admitting people so that when they did decide to get care, we were here from that for them. And so
as the leader, but as the leader of a behavioral health business, it must be daunting to see, so many of these people with so many challenges today. I mean, it must be daunting to sort of watch it and to keep your staff engaged and morale up and excited about trying to help people. I mean, it must be daunting, though, at times to see such an overwhelming amount of people struggling with behavioral health issues.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I'm a clinician, so my background is in clinical leadership. And it's interesting because when I think about the period of COVID, and I think about leadership throughout this time, I have started to do a lot of speaking on trauma-informed leadership. And I know that our staff all have suffered from compassion fatigue. But, you know, being a leader during this time as well, and it's not just the acuity of the patient, it's what we see in our employees. And to be able to be trauma-informed so that we create a space for them where they come to work and they feel safe. We feel like they feel like we have their back so that they can bring their best selves into every therapeutic encounter that they have. That has been extremely important during this time as well, to be a trauma-informed leader, to be able to actually serve not just the patients, but that frontline staff that serves the patients.
100%. If you can't take care of your staff, they can't take care of patients. Talk for a moment about, you talked about virtual care. What are a couple of the trends that you're following in behavioral health and substance abuse? What are some of the trends that you're following? What's working? What's not working? Give us a sense of what you're seeing out there.
So first of all, obviously, virtual care is paramount, and there's a lot of money coming into behavioral health from various private equity firms looking to invest on the digital side of our business, and that's fantastic. And you know, a lot of us as clinicians are able now to practice across state lines. Docs are practicing across state lines. So we're not only seeing virtual talk therapy, but we're seeing even virtual detox services, and also seeing a lot of new apps are popping up every month to provide peer support and coaching, and kind of it filling that space of the not quite therapy, but more motivational kinds of things.
About the virtual detox. I mean, the traditional program is somebody went for 30 to 90 days to complete sober facility. They tried to at least get sober, and then they might have done a halfway program to stay sober, some kind of residential, you know, in and out facility. But virtual detox, you know, so different than what you saw in, you know, residential-based facilities, or, you know, the old Hazleton or Betty Ford programs where somebody went to a facility and they were checked in and they're checked to make sure they don't have anything with them and all those kinds of things. How does the virtual detox work? And is that, you know, does that work? And how can that work?
You know, we don't know yet. And it's kind of interesting because I met with psychiatrists last week that wanted to talk with me about their methodology. And it's interesting because they will be in a certain state, and then in the state where the patient is, they have a behavioral health tech, and that tech check is right there with the patient. So they check all the vitals, and they're able to monitor the things that need to be monitored face to face while the doc is virtual and over a screen. It's really interesting. My husband had heart surgery a few years back, and this was exactly what his step-down care was, so that he could go home rather than to, you know, stay in the hospital, that sort of thing. So to me, it feels like that same mindset. But, you know, I'm old school. Nothing is better than 30 days residential care. I feel like that is the evidence shows us that that is really what works when we have care that strings over 90 days, that stretches over 90 days, I should say.
Well, right. And at least as a starting point, that seems to help. I love the answer that we're not sure. We're trying to figure it out whether the virtual works. It's far better than selling an answer that it does work. And we're really not sure and trying to figure out whether it can work, you know, and how do you manage it? How do you deal with it? You know, it's such a fascinating evolution in care. When you look at this year, Jamie, what are your big priorities this year? What are you most excited about? What are your big priorities for the rest of this year?
So big priorities for this year is we are obviously very involved in looking for strategic partners. We are growing our Recovery Ways family of programs. We're looking for providers out there that are either in areas where we need more treatment providers and we can grow their business, or we're looking at people, looking for people that offer a very unique clinical product to meet a need that's out there, such as our new tech addiction program. So we're looking for strategic partners and acquisitions. We are also looking to get into some bundled rates, value-based shared risk, value-based agreement with some of our payer partners. And that is, I believe that's the future for mental health and substance use disorder treatment. And we would love to be a part of that with our payer partners. And then the other thing is to continue to recruit and grow our teams. You know, there's such a shortage right now of behavioral health workers, all the way from the CEOs to the entry-level folks that are just joining our fields. And so to be able to, again, create and retain a culture where people want to be and develop folks internally, that's really a huge priority of mine as well.
Magnificent. Jamie, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. I love, quite frankly, so much the directness of the we're not sure if this works or not. We're trying this. I just love that. It's so refreshing and so laudatory. Jamie Vink, CEO of CPF Recovery Ways, excited to see you grow. And thank you for taking the time to visit with us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you. Bye-bye.